evening and welcome to the Effing Bag Show. We're back for another episode this week. And of course, everybody was expecting to see Tony Gowie in the top left-hand corner. But dear me, as I tell you what, it's certainly a better looking person in the top left-hand corner than the bottom left-hand corner than Tony Gowie tonight. And she's...
That's awful news, Dave. How dare you?
Sorry to disappoint.
Those hammers can't be trusted. We've learned a lesson.
He's back next week, don't worry. He said he apologises to you young ladies and he will definitely be here next week with us. And of course, everybody can see down in the bottom left-hand corner as I'm looking at it. I think on the screen, you're in the bottom top right-hand corner in the screen on Facebook, Courtney. But it's Courtney.
Oh, Courtney.
Valley. She's been armed behind her back and had a brother kidnapped and God knows what else to be on here tonight. But
he'll be out safely this evening, Courtney. Don't worry.
Thank you.
He eats too much to stay here.
What's been going on in your world for the last week, then, other than your mum telling you off about your hair?
So, work's been really good. We've got no more newly positive patients with COVID on the walls. We're just dealing with all the long COVID and all the rehab from that. I've been out raving every evening. But other than that, I'm just trying to keep my head down and work really hard. And I have my COVID vaccine. How can I forget that?
Brilliant. Not that.
Anybody else had it yet?
No.
No.
I controversially don't want it.
Ooh.
Controversial. Everyone says that. Oh. I don't. I.
Before we hit my, that, why not? Why not? Come on in.
Well, my mom has cirrhosis the liver due to medication, so my view on medication is very harsh. So if I have to take two paracetamol, there's a small minor panic attack. So I literally don't have any medication. When I have to go on antibiotics, that is the end of the world and you're left to be sedated. So my relationship with medication is quite strange. Now Ali's probably looking at me going, "You are a dickhead," and that's absolutely fine. But
I'm not
like one of these anti-vax or crazy people. I don't mind people getting it. My mum has had it. She's had both jabs and I'm delighted for her. But I'm just afraid that my liver is not going to stop growing outside my back and my kidneys aren't going to keel over. And I know that's a bit like naive, but there's just not enough research for me, I'm afraid.
This is what we're the first guinea pigs. You're good. If I grow a third arm, then I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I could do with three arms, to be honest, when going shopping. But alas, no superpowers, no third arm, bit of a temperature. I didn't even get a sticker to say thank you. So I'm fuming. Absolutely fuming.
Not even a lollipop for having it done.
No, sadly. I blame Jamie Oliver for no more sweets than that in the NHS. It's awful.
One of the things that's been coming up on my timeline, especially on YouTube of late, especially in the last week, was the 2019 FA Vars final between Cray Valley and Chertsey, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Chertsey.
So, was you part of the day, Courtney?
I was. I was there, and it was amazing.
Talk me through the day.
So we stayed overnight the night before in a hotel just to make sure like all the squad were together. We had dinner, obviously then had breakfast, made our way there. It was really good, actually. We didn't know at the time, but Jamesy had organised like for a DJ to be in the change room, which is actually really cool. So got there, obviously, usual setup, warm up, whatnot. Yeah, it was just a great day. You know, when you look back, you think like, did that actually really happen to me? But yeah. It was good to be a part of.
I was actually there. I was watching.
We were watching
because a friend, of course, no disrespect, a friend of the show as well, and all the rest, and Dave Anderson was on the bench on the other side, and all the rest of it. And of course, both sides were then coming into the Isthmian League the following season as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like two Isthmian clubs being in the final. So we were up watching the game. But I mean, what was it like on the bench when your man? Was it hit the crossbar or was it right at the very last kick of the game when it went?
Oh, yeah, he hit the bar. Obviously, it's one of those moments where, like, you just gasp, don't you? Like, oh, like, is that going in? But then, yeah, it pinged back off. It was quite sad.
Yeah.
But the experience just to get there was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get a medal?
I think I was... Huh?
Did you get a medal? as part of the team.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where it is. I should have it to hand, but I don't.
He knows where it is, Dave. It has her neck right now.
I don't know.
I don't know where it is. Oh, hang on a minute. Here it is.
No, I was actually more nervous about running on for someone going down than anything else, to be honest. I literally was thinking, please no one go down the other side of the pitch because it is huge. And I was thinking, I'll be so out of breath by the time I get over the other side.
And of course, live on the telly as well.
Yeah. Camera's on.
You stack it. It would have been quite good.
Oh, why would you say that? Live entertainment.
You would have been immortal, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, even a meme would have been amazing, Courtney. I wouldn't wish that on you, obviously, mate. I wouldn't wish it on you.
Oh, God,
a little bit of jealousy kicking around. I won't lie, Courtney. When I saw that Wembley, I thought, you know what? That's my dream. And I was living vicariously through you on that day, I tell you that much. And then the camera panned to you. Oh, it's Courtney Dobson. You go, oh, God.
Me.
Yeah.
When I got back in the changing room, I looked at my phone, obviously, when the camera was over, and all my friends literally were just sending pictures. Like, oh my God, like, I don't want that. But no, it was really good. It's one of those moments where you just think, like, as you do these competitions, that it's just for fun at the beginning, and then as you progress, you just think, like, oh, this could be something. And the boys done really well, credit to them, to be honest. So yeah, it was great.
Was there a point when you guys started to get a little bit nervous, like you were leading up to being at Wembley? Was there a point where you thought, hang on a minute, we can do this?
What do you mean, games-wise? Or...
Yeah.
I'm just going to disappear. I think it was the quarter-final where we
Jackie
went...
Jackie Weaver's got rid of him, I think.
Huh?
Jackie Weaver's got rid of Dave, I think. Oh, dear. Quickly, it's our show now.
Rewind! Woo!
Carry on, courts.
For a quarterfinals, we went down to near Devon for Willand Rovers. Yeah. Had to obviously stay there the night before because of how far it was and stuff. And it was 50-50 whether the game was going to be on because it was such bad weather down there. But the boys played and they won. And it was literally, I can't remember the score. That's terrible. I hope they're not watching.
Let's say 3-1.
The one.
The score is irrelevant. Or they won the match. The score is irrelevant.
Yeah. We were all celebrating. We was like, wow, like this could really be something now. And then we got Canterbury in the semi-finals, who were in our league at the time. So it was like, oh, this could either go one or two ways. Like, so obviously we know we've played them before, like we know what they're about, but also they know what we're about. So it could go like either way. But yeah, it was good. It was really, really good. I think at one point I was like, you know, when you just think like, you're gonna cry like if with happiness for them, you're like, oh, just so happy for you guys.
It must have been a fantastic sort of trip up there in the first place, you know, on the coach and all that. To Wembley, yeah. I mean, that must have been some experience for a young lady like yourself to be doing the role that you're doing, and all of a sudden you're actually, you know, you're actually doing that and you're doing your job and you're doing it at Wembley. It must have been incredible.
I know. So the week building up to the game, we were allowed to go and have a look around stadium in the changing rooms and stuff. So I was like, okay, I'll go and do that just to kind of get used to the surroundings, because the scale of it is just nothing like what we've ever been used to. Obviously, you go and watch games in those sorts of places, but never actually be playing. But yeah, it was amazing.
Mm.
We actually had to get the tube up to the hotel ourselves. We didn't get a coach up there. I was like, with all my stuff, like on the tube.
Imagine bags and bags and bags of stuff on the tube.
Yeah.
Did you all meet up though and go up there as a team, or did you go up there individually?
So because people come from all over, I met up with a few that were around near where I was, and then we went up together.
Yeah.
And then obviously we got the coach from the hotel to Wembley the next day. But yeah, it was a weird kind of atmosphere, because obviously there's a lot of excitement, a lot of nerves and stuff, but yeah, they were all...
Just, well, I suppose in a way as well, you on that day, you had, you know, no disrespects to AFC Flying, but you had Leighton Orient there as well, which, you know, were, you know, no disrespects, a really sort of big team in London, big team sort of around our sort of area and whatever else. And of course, the late Justin Edinburgh was there as well. Did you get to see any of those guys when you was coming back in? Or
I didn't ever cross paths with any of them, unfortunately, but obviously we kind of poked our heads out to have a little watch of the game whilst we were upstairs, because Lisby was in our squad, and obviously he was a part of the team for quite a while. So, yeah, that was nice to see.
So how are you coping then with all this lockdown stuff then, Courtney, with football? And, you know, one minute we're there and next minute we're not. And I mean, what's your thoughts on last year being sort of null and void now? Well, we're almost there now. I think it's only going to be Tuesday when they have their board meeting Tuesday that it's going to be null and void for us, with the National League going into null and void last night. So have you had any contact from Kevin or from anybody at all? And what's your feelings on it?
To be honest, with what's going on at the moment, I think it's probably the most sensible thing to do. Mm. Obviously, it's not great for the clubs and things like that. They put a lot of time and effort into these things, but health is so much more important than, for me personally, playing a game of football, because we just need to get through this. And the quicker we all knuckle down and do it, the quicker we can be back playing the game that everybody loves. So yeah, for me, it's a sensible decision to cancel it from a kind of therapist point of view, for everybody's safety.
But what does everybody else think? I mean, I'm still seeing clubs. I mean, I saw one club, and I won't mention the names, but you know that they were in our league previously. But you know, with the null and void decision yesterday, you know, there's a possibility of them maybe sort of going and doing sort of some kind of a legal sort of stance on it as well. And you just think to yourself, the teams that seem to be making the biggest noise are the teams that realistically were the ones that were at the top of the table. Mm-hmm. Especially in, you know, National League, and I'm not necessarily saying our leagues, but I'm sort of, you know, in the National League, there seems to be a lot of people. Other people saying, "Well, you know, we should be leaving the league where it is, and then carrying on with it again in September, and all these different decisions." I mean, what's your thoughts when you heard last night that the National League had voided it? Did you think straight away then that, well, it's game over
for our level?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my gut instinct was, yeah, it's done. I think I felt like it was done when it first. I mean, we've played how many games in the Isthmians? What is it, Nurse? I think we played 6 at Cray. And I thought as soon as we did that, I was like, you know what, we're done. I can't see how you can get back from playing 6 games. You can never catch up, that sort of. And I think now the National League have given in. I can't really see how anything can happen at our level, which is really sad, because you essentially have 2 seasons where you haven't achieved anything. I'm not going to mention Project Non-League again, because I think, you know my viewpoints on it, Dave. I think it's a good idea to shake it up. Will it happen? I think with the National League null and voiding, that looks less likely now to me. It's really sad. I think it's a day that we all maybe knew were coming, but were hoping it wasn't. Do I see the point in pausing it and waiting? Probably not. It's sad, but... you know, I think sadly football's kind of where it is at the moment. And hopefully, let's always keep our fingers crossed, we can get back for the pre-season and next season now and actually have a plan in place this time. Because
I said Monday night, girls. I said Monday night to Keith and to the guys on Monday night. I said, look, I said, you know, I don't mean this to be disrespectful to anybody. I said, but why don't we just start the new season in June? Why don't we not start the next season in July? You know, if we start the new season then, and then all the people come in and we're saying, you know, on Twitter and Facebook, you can't do that because of cricket and holidays and all the rest of it. Well, let's be open and honest. We're not going on a holiday. So that takes that out of the equation. You know, when it comes to the situation of cricket and stuff like that, well, we'd have been playing friendlies in July anyway, if you were starting back in August. So that defeats that object as well. So let's start back in July, if that's the case. And if that means that Cray and, you know, both of Cray's, and Harlow and all the rest of them have got to play pre-season friendlies and they've got to play them on a park pitch, so be it. At least then we get back and start playing the games earlier. And if something does go wrong, then, okay, you've got a little bit extra, you've got to get out of the way before the season starts. And as you said, then have a plan of action. And you know, and if we then finish the season by February, March time of 2022, then leave the League Cup alone and play the League Cup at the end of the season if it's available to be able to play. And it just seems a no-brainer to me, but I don't know what you girls think.
I think there's time for them to prepare for going into the season. Then yeah, why not? Let's start it early, but you can't expect them to have this amount of time off and then have a smaller pre-season and then go straight into competitive games, because it just doesn't work
No.
Yeah, I agree with Courtney. You can't give people like 2 weeks notice and go, we're going to resume the season. That's ridiculous. I mean, you normally have 6 weeks-ish pre-season. It's cold, it's winter, people haven't been out training, people haven't been having match fitness. From a therapist's point of view, it's suicide. I think that the season should just resume as normal. Pre-season starts in July, season starts in August, or pre-season starts in June if that's what teams see fit. And then we start as normal in August, because none of us know as of yet how the out of this lockdown is happening. I mean, we won't know until Monday. And at that stage, I'm sure our fearless leader, Boris, still won't have a fucking clue. So at the end of the day, I just think we need to box clever, not rush everything, get back to football in August and get back to football that we know is not going to come September, October, be like flushed down the toilet again, because it, at the end of the day, it's, you want it to be a success. And I think, yeah, I admire all the clubs that tried to get back started in September, and our club was one of them, and I was so happy. But the thing is, if you start halfway, like the halfway season, it's going to be ruined for everyone. When you think of our level of football, like at Cray Valley, at Cray Wanderers, at Phoenix, some of these boys, this is it. They won't play again. Their seasons, this season might have been their last season. Some boys, this season was their first season. You have to take all those like into consideration. You have to take the fact that no one has had opened their bar, no one has opened their ground, no one has opened their club in how many months? And a lot of clubs don't have an income. So how are you going to pay these players to start early? Like, we need to open the bars first. And I'm not being an Irish alcoholic with my gin in hand, but
I agree.
The bars have to open first for the clubs. The clubhouses have to open so there's an income. Otherwise, the clubs are literally going to be, their gates will stay closed. And that's really heartbreaking, especially when I think about a club like Phoenix. If someone turned around to me tomorrow and said Phoenix won't open its gates again, like, I can't tell you, I'd be devastated, because there's a really good core of people down there. And Courtney probably said the same about Cray Valley. I can't comment on Cray Wanderers, but there's a really good core of people who keep the place going. And I think the more you try and rush back, the more detrimental the decision could be to these clubs.
I absolutely agree. If you think, I suppose, since March, when we lost the season before, realistically, I suppose if you look at the amount of games some teams have played, we've only really played a pre-season between March and now, haven't we, really, and in two seasons. So, as you just said, I can't see how they can really bring, even if they said he came in tomorrow and went, right, football can start again as from Saturday, well, it's not going to happen, is it? It's just physically not going to be able to get players back that have been sitting on their backsides. I'm not saying they've all been sitting on their backsides, but not actually playing games for that period of time. George Pope, George has come in. I'm trying to find it before it skips on. He says, I prefer to see regionalised leagues if the competition won't finish, to reduce travel, etc. Be competitive and keep players fit. Adrian has come in and said, null and void is a terrible for the integrity of football at that level. Pause the season and restart when it's safe, even if that's August. Continue the season from then with the matches played counting for next season. Who's to say that COVID will not affect next winter? At least it may reduce the number of midweeks in December and January if the season isn't affected again by COVID. Is there any excuse to turn up and get drunk? Aaron's coming. So is this an excuse to turn up and get drunk?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, why not? And then it says, George has also said, it's not one rule suits all. Whatever is decided will not work for everyone. An example, my local playing field is shared rent from the council. 5 months cricket, 7 months of football. Be very difficult to persuade councils to change their scenario. And then Steve has said, I can't comment on all three. Fantastic people at three clubs, top to bottom.
Oh, thanks. Mention bottoms as well, though. Oh. I see what he's done there. I like it. But I think, you know what? I think the key thing is for me is that you've got loads of comments there. So many wonderful ideas of how to make this work. Now, I agree. There is no one size fits all. If you pick one that involves promotion, then Cray are happy, but then perhaps other people who aren't happy involve relegation, and people at the bottom will hate it. But I think we have to have a plan, isn't it? That's what we all want now. I think having a third season without any outcome is absolutely disastrous for football, because he just turns you off of it, doesn't he? You go, what's the point of getting involved in this if I'm not going to get a full season out? What's the point of turning up and being investing in these clubs if they're not going to turn? And I think clubs are part of their communities, aren't they, ultimately? We all sit here and we're going about bars and we're going about hot dogs and about football games, but actually it's community, isn't it? We've all lost 100%. That. We've all lost our communities a little bit through this. Whether that's because you've been locked in your house for 10 days because you've had COVID, whether that's because you can't go to your local football club. Yeah. And I think we have to have a plan of what we're going to do next year. Now, whether that's regionalised or something, but the league has to have a plan for next season because the last 2 years haven't cut it, really, unfortunately. And I get it. It's unprecedented. They can't cut it, but we had 2 years to get used to it. Now, let's do something.
It's uncharted territory, but you do wonder. I mean, even now, it's February, I'm opening myself up here to an absolute barrage of abuse. But it's February, and it's like, this is the second time it's happened. Our leagues have been paused since last week in October, beginning of November. October, November, December, January, February, nearly March, 6 months, and there's still no plan. This is quite concerning from such a massive, massive sport and such a sport that has such an influence. It's very concerning. And I mean, I'm looking at the National League now, and like Dover have had to pull out because they actually have no funding. I've seen it all over Twitter. And my heart is broken for Dover, for the players, the management, host, the physio. I mean, where's the, like, there's no concrete jobs. There's no one going to reach out and be like, oh yeah, come and work for us. Like, we're in a time where if your job's gone, your job's gone. And I mean, if the National League don't have a plan 6 months on when they've seen what's happened to our league, why haven't we been more our league's been more proactive and gone, right, if this happens, this is what we'll do. If this happens, this is what we'll do. As in,
I think it's more to do with how it works. Yeah, I think it's more to do with an FA thing. I don't think it's a league can decide. I think it's an FA thing where they have got to decide. But I fully agree with you. And you know, and people have come out and said, well, just because step two sort of like null and void, why can't step three and four keep going? Well, it can't do anything but be null and void because there's no promotion. There's no relegation from divisions above. So there's no promotion from the division below. Yeah. So then that Consultina's ever in cup, so no one can go anywhere. So no club's going to want to play if it's Cray Wanderers, if it's, you know, whoever are going to want to play, carry on playing, win the league, but then they can't do nothing. And they've spent all that money on wages to finish the league.
Even just my wages, Dave, are enough, mate, to be honest.
That's why the league can't restart.
I know. They know. I mean, I've got some good dirt on people. It's amazing.
It's bankrupt.
I think the key thing is just that, the only thing that can really save us is this restructure, isn't it? If it happens, Dave. And I don't know enough about it to know what the situation is with that at the moment. And you know what? I despair at it because all I want is a bit of hope that there's going to be something next year for us. And
the problem is going to be with that, even with I'm with you. Yeah. The restructure's got to happen at the end of the season. But again, they can't do that because no disrespect. Who do you promote from step five? You know, if you promote the people that have been top for the last few years, then some teams are going to go, well, hang on a minute. Why are you promoting them? They've not actually been promoted. So why are you automatically? And I think that's where the issue is going to be. There's going to be so many sort of people maybe taking legal action if they promote this club A instead of club B and club C. And I can honestly see it just being the same teams in the same leagues. Let's go again. And then we start again from
all. I have to agree, sadly. I mean, it's sad because, you know, I'd love the opportunity to have different teams and maybe even get a game against Courtney one day. Who knows? We've tried for a few years with Courtney. We haven't really managed it.
We've tried.
Yeah. They both got promoted the same year, didn't we? That was fun. I even tried to... I won't go into it. but basically, one of those things that... I just thought we needed a bit of a change, but ultimately, I think our hands are all tired and... COVID is horrible. We all want it to go away now. We're all a bit over it, aren't we? So fingers crossed we can get the vaccines rolling out. We can get more people being better managed and less hop on. Yeah, hide your face. more people who are vulnerable being protected. Then maybe we can get a bit of normality back and maybe we can go and hug our relatives again and see our football friends and who knows, maybe even go to Fort Park. Who knows?
I think though, with everything, like everyone's suggestions about getting the league back and all that, like palaver, I live and die for football. It's my escapism. I love it. I've loved it since the first day I did physio for Sevenoaks back in 1993. But we have to come back to Courtney's point, is people's health. I mean, I've seen, like, Ali's had COVID, I've had COVID, I still apparently have COVID, I'm going to have it for the rest of my life, according to a doctor. And I've seen a member of the committee at Phoenix literally get, his family got a phone call saying he's 24 hours to live. And like, when you look at it like that, yeah, football's great. Is it that good? Is it that good that we start losing committee members? Because let's be honest, there are no young committee members on teams. Like, the average age is 50 upwards. Some 100 upwards, depending on what club you go to. So if there's no one stepping forward new for the committees, you can't, like, committee rooms were empty because the main bulk of committees were the elderly. So they'd stop coming to games. So, you know, you have to protect people as well. I mean, don't get me wrong, I am gagging, I'm chomping at the bit to be back at football, but Courtney's point is 100%, we have to protect people first.
Absolutely. So Courtney, I mean, this stuff, like, you know, getting a bit sort of more lively with the conversation. So how did you first get involved as a physio for Cray, and how did you get involved in, and how did you actually get involved in football in the first place?
Do you know what? I've always come from a really kind of sporty family. My brother and dad were always involved with football. My brother was playing for, I think it was Cray's under 16s at the time, and I kept seeing Emily up with the first team. So obviously we'd play on the back pitch. My brother would play on the back pitch and they'd be the first team pitch. And I don't even know how did we get into it? I was just talking. I think my mum and dad
Your dad came into the physio room with you and he introduced us, and I was like, oh, it's nice to meet you. And he was saying you want to go on the therapy route, and I was like, that's fantastic. And he said, couldn't you get some work experience? And I was standing there, I was like, yeah, I can ask a few teams, and never dreaming that he was asking directly me. And I said, let's see what I can do. And he went, no, here. And I was like, excuse me, what? So I was like, yeah, no problem. So we decided then, like, we'd go ahead with it, but I was literally having sleepless nights because Courtney was so young at the time. Like, I know you're still a baby, but compared to me, but at the time she was so young, and I was like, oh my God, men's dressing room, like the inappropriateness of it all. So I literally went into her dad and I was like, this is what happens in the dressing room. Is this okay? And he's like, yeah, it's fine. I was like, fine. So then that's how it kind of started. And I was more worried about what she'd see and hear than anything else.
That's just from you, Em, isn't it, mate?
No.
I think I just finished my degree at uni. I'd done sport and exercise science. Tried to get onto a pre-registered physio master's, but that didn't work out for a couple of reasons. And I went on a soft tissue therapy course. So while I was doing that, I think it was a couple of weekends every month, I had to go to do my course. So the ones that I wasn't on, I'd be with Emily. And then the ones where I were, I'd try and rush home, like, to get to the games. But I then had to do, I can't even remember, I think like 100 hours worth of logging. And that was such a good opportunity for me to fill up whilst I was at football and stuff. And then, yeah, I think I was with you for like 2 years, weren't I, in the end, Em?
Yeah, 2 seasons. And then you went to Erith and Belvedere.
Yeah.
And then I left Cray, and then you came back the season after.
Yeah.
So it was nice. It was good. It's always it's always fantastic to have an extra pair of hands.
I think the boys liked it as well, because there was like, you could get through more, couldn't you? And they were just taking advantage of it.
It's 100% so easy to have an extra pair of hands.
So bad. I'm really sorry.
Oh wow!
Can you see where she gets it from?
I can. You know what? It doesn't surprise me that you were a mentor. I can just see it, you know.
It was just grown up. It was just the realisation of what she said. It just sort of came over like a wave.
Was that more nerve wracking than running on at Wembley Court?
That moment.
Yeah, that moment just then.
Now you can see how red my chest is going.
I'm so sorry.
I thought nothing of it until I saw Ali's face. It's like,
you might regret that in a bit.
I mean, how hard? Come on, I mean, how hard did you find that going into a male-dominated dressing room? I mean, I ran a couple of ladies' sides myself. But to go into a female dressing room was I found very sort of unnerving and so forth. You know, you just felt on edge all the time when you was in there, and then until you
came, it was like this in the dressing room.
But it was that type of thing where you went in there and you just had to say to them, you know, stay in your kit until we go out. Like, do you know what I mean? And this sort of stuff.
But are you dressed?
But it was how was it for you?
I think I hid behind Emily quite a lot until I thought, you know what, just go for it, like just act normal, like, and then it's nothing, isn't it? You're just part of it then. Once they're used to you being there and you're used to being, I mean, we had our own little room, didn't we? So it was quite all right.
It was easy, yeah. I remember initially I was saying to Courtney, do you want to run on, and in the beginning it's like no, and then it's like, right, I'll run on first and then you run on, and we took turns, which was also equally fantastic. And I remember at Tunbridge Wells, the fans down Tunbridge Wells are quite vocal and quite sometimes intimidating. And I remember Joe Matthews went down and I was like, I'll go and get him. And then Tommy Osborne went down. I was like, you go to Joe, I'll go to Tommy. Joe was right under the fans. And I remember thinking, oh, shit.
You knew what you were doing. You knew exactly what you were doing.
I kept like, going to Tommy, and I was looking. I was like, oh.
And I was just like, oh my God. I think I come back over to the bench. I was like, that was awful.
That was, they were exact words.
But no, you just get used to it in the end. Obviously, I was only, what was I, like 20? Maybe younger than that. But I think having Emily next to me really helped because she's a big character. Like,
no.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I forget how young you are sometimes, Courtney, because I feel like you've been around for a while. I'm not mind me saying, but
I'm not that young anymore. I'm not that young.
You're still a baby to me. What are you, Ali? It's not your banging on about.
You're all babies to me, let me tell you. But I mean, do you enjoy doing it? I mean, you seem to enjoy it. I mean, the two, Ali and Emily, you can see how much they love to do it, and you seem to come across the same thing that, you know, you really love it and you're really missing it.
Yeah, do you know what? It's one of those things. It just becomes a part of your life. Like two nights a week, every Saturday's football. All your friends are going out for brunches and stuff. You're like, nope, football. Like, that's my. It's really nice because the people that you meet, you see them all the time and you just become friends, really, don't you? It's like you go and see your friends every time you go to football. But yeah, I love it. I do, yeah.
All missing it though.
Yeah, I think, you know, yeah. What it's the lads you miss, isn't it? Yeah. It's the banter, it's coming in and just wearing the wrong pair of shoes and everyone caning you for about an hour because you wore a slightly different style to usual. I just miss having a really bad day at work or whatever and just knowing that going to football and it will all be fine. No matter what happens, no matter what relative, what the result is, it's all going to be okay. And you've kind of got like a little family there. I know Tony Russell hates me saying football family, but we are. It's because he's the dad of the family and we're all the children, so he's automatically the oldest person there. But it's one of those things that I just really miss, being around people, seeing the committee members, just having a bit of a laugh, you know, swearing at a couple of refs maybe.
That's you, Ali. That's not the rest of us. Thank you.
only a couple of them. But it's just, you miss having that thing every week to go to, that routine, and you feel a bit lost about it. I mean, the sad thing is now, I think, Dave, I got used to not having it, which is perhaps the weirdest thing, maybe. So knowing that on a Saturday, I'm not sitting there at 3 o'clock waiting for the results to roll in. I'm just kind of ignoring it a bit now and watching football on telly, which is great because West Ham are doing really well. But, you know, I know I've got to keep saying, Dave, it's not going to happen again. Let's be honest, it's COVID season. There's any reason why we're probably doing well.
And you got your cup final tomorrow as well.
Exactly.
But I mean, in all fairness, I asked the other two ladies this, Courtney, as well. So I'll ask you the same question. when you go there, does your partner come and watch you play? Watch you on a Saturday? And you know, and if so, if that's the case, you know. I've just got a question, you know.
Steve, we just said she's in her 20s, she's not 60.
whatever else might be, you know, on the side watching. I mean, do they find it difficult if you're getting sort of, as I said to the girls, I think on the first show, you know, if some of the fans there are sort of all bristling and this and that and all the rest of it, have you been in that situation?
Well, I don't have a partner currently, so they can't get annoyed.
All the lads, quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say, number.
We've got our number, we'll give it out, don't panic.
Yeah, off the show, I'll put it out. 074.
So when I started, I was in a relationship. He actually played for Cray as well at some point, so he was fine with it. I think it says more about a person themselves if they're not okay with it than anything else. Do you know what I mean?
Can I ask
you a mildly related question, Courtney? How'd your brother find it? Your brother plays football, doesn't he?
I mean, he's been in the same changing room as well as me before, and he just gets on with it. He's pretty laid back, but I'm sure there's been times where he's like,
see, my brother hates it when I'm at Don's because he watches it every Sunday. He's like, oh, here you are again. Not even doing anything. Can't even run properly.
Oh,
it's embarrassing.
I think my brother's nice to me because he knows that I'll give him treatment. Do you know what I mean? So...
Oh, see, I don't treat my brother.
Mm.
I charge him, innit?
Nice.
I'm mortgaging more, Courtney. It is what it is, innit?
Bless him.
Where does your brother play at the minute then, Courtney?
He's at Sporting Club Thamesmead at the moment.
Right.
So, yeah, loving it there. He likes it, yeah.
Good. Happy day. So, I mean, with the actual clubs and stuff and football in general, I mean, with it sort of being shut down and the possibility of it coming back, do you expect to get that decision on Tuesday, once the borders met and Boris has done his statement on Monday, do you expect to hear on Tuesday night that it is going to be null and void?
No.
Although it would just make sense if they follow suit to what the leaks above us have done. I don't know. I don't see a way that we could ever do anything different to the leaks above us because... it just wouldn't make sense to me. I'm a bit naive in these sorts of situations, but yeah, I don't see how we could continue it or anything else if they can't. So, yeah.
Plus, I think we can all agree, without fans, it's absolutely dog shit, even at the higher level.
That's two for the spread, John. Now, I'm keeping count.
Honestly, it's absolute phony.
I missed that one.
You can hear them what they're talking. You can hear, like, it's just honestly, and I honestly think unless we can have fans back in, I mean, they're the life and soul of football, and like they're the ones you have banter with every week when you're walking past. And I think it was at Cray Valley. I don't know if you were still there, Courtney, and it was the time of the Eva Canario incident at Chelsea, and we'd lost, and I was walking off, and I had a raving hump written all over my face, and this geezer leaned over the fence, and he went, "Cheer up, love. There's an opening at Chelsea." And I actually nearly wet myself laughing because I thought, you know what, that was quick and that was funny. And it's the fans that make it. Yeah, you have the odd one going, "Oh yeah, do you?" But then, like, the rest of them are just there for the crack, like, so not the actual literal crack.
It's the same. But that's two bum mentions as well. We've done well today so far.
So how often do you get those type of comments? I mean, Courtney, yourself, I mean, how often do you get sort of, shall we say...
Dave, I don't like the way you're going to the young, pretty one first.
Because she's my guest.
Rude.
I mean, there has been some, and I'm not really quick at saying things back, so I just go really awkward. I'm like... oh, like, just carry on walking, look at the floor, like, down to the dugout. But yeah, sometimes there has been a few that I think, oh, you are just disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, have a bit of respect, do you know what I mean?
I don't know who this girl is. She's been to Wembley. Yeah. I say to them, say, "I've been to Wembley. What have you done with your life?"
Yeah.
But make sure you've been to Wembley first, though, mate.
There's been a couple of times where I've gone on to, like, treat people and I've heard a few things being shouted at. And I've gone back round to the bench and it's really, like, upset me a bit. And I'm like, why do they think that's okay? And the boys are like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, well, someone just said this, and they're like, oh, just don't worry about it. But it does actually, like, you think about it, don't you? Like, what? Why are you saying that? Like, it's not right.
No, absolutely. 100%. And that's what I was trying to get at the other week when I was saying, if your parents are there as well, you know, you know, you're all three young ladies, you know, and you know, if you've got your parents there and they're coming to watch you on the odd game or whatever else, and someone makes that type of comment. I mean, I know as a dad, you know, my oldest is, you know, he's what, 23, 24, my youngest is 21, you know, and if they were in that situation and someone's made some kind of derogatory comment to them, then I know I would get quite angry about it. Do you know what I mean? So how do your parents actually react to that?
I was tempted to shout out and ask him. He's in the other room. But
I'd be interested to get him on camera and ask him.
I don't think he's done his hair, Dave. I don't think he'll come out. Maybe next week. You'll never shut him up. And you'll see his Tottenham fan. I don't want to give him a right to have a go at me before the game. It's a bit awkward. But do you know what? It's going to sound really sad. I just think they're super used to it at this point. And I think it's gone from being quite a common occurrence to being quite an uncommon occurrence for me. My mum and dad, I tend to put them near the Cray Massive or Cray fans, so that they're out of the way. So they don't tend to hear anything apart from unadulterated praise from me, because everyone at Cray's lovely. But I make sure that there's games I wouldn't invite them to, or I say stay away from those fans because they tend to give more stick than others. I just try and, but you know what, I don't want my parents to hear that either. But sadly, it's sadly a part of football. And I think, like what Courtney says, there are moments that upset you, but most of the time you kind of just go, oh, whatever, like, it's your problem, not mine. Mm. I think the best shout I had in the last couple of years was, like, walking past, if I can't remember what team it was now, and apology, I'm going to swear for a moment, if you don't mind, so hold your breath, everybody. I walked past, and all her was, Essie Don's a shit, but it was a crap game. And I went, aww. How do you know I'm the Don's? You've been Googling me, haven't you? And it was quite a funny moment. I thought it was quite clever of them. But obviously, I mean, I thought, I'll walk in back with a little bop. Oh, yeah, you know who I am. Brilliant. Pick up myself, anything and all that, you know?
do you actually think, though, and knowing your club with the likes of Tony, and of course, your chairman there, and the chairman, you know, I always call him the Heineken chairman down at Phoenix, and I know Kevin at Cray. If the comment there maybe was, shall we say, a little bit further on than maybe some of the comments you've got there, do you think that those people would get round you and support you and maybe do and jump on it like a ton of bricks? Because I think they probably would.
I don't think I'd cross Joe Vines personally. on a good or bad day, he's a lovely bloke, but he's very protective of all of us on the team. I mean, I had the linesman have a really, I don't know what I'd done to deserve it, had a bit of pop at me, and he said, I mean, who do you think you're talking to? Like, she's done nothing wrong. Why are you shouting at her for? And even very quiet, very quickly. I think, as I said, touch wood, this isn't an invitation to everybody out there in the football world. I've not been had recently. It's not happened to me that badly. And I think, do you know what? I just tend to try and just get on with it now. But I'd like to think everybody at Cray would defend me. I think I had an incident at a club. I won't mention him because, just I won't mention him because he's not very nice. Incident, and someone tried to grab one of me and my student from across the side of the pitch, across the bar, and a couple of the players saw it and come charging over after the game. It is what
that's
it is, sadly.
That's all wrong.
You know, but it's a bit like racism, isn't it? Unfortunately, these things do happen, and we have to take a positive, strong stance against it, but sometimes you just got to be like, you know what? You pay to watch us do my job, my players play, innit? I know what sort of pitch I want to be on, and I'm in the right, so they can just grow up a little bit, really, isn't it? I tell you what, I tend to get more love most of the time. I'm going, you're a little physio. Oh, my God, can I come and say hello? You're like, oh, God. It's a bit much. But, I know. It's a...
All these shows she appears on court. That's what it is. Every time.
I know.
It's boom, every time I turn my on, there she is.
I spread myself about, Dave. It's been said.
Non-league superstar now. But, Courtney, have you had anything like that at all?
What, with my parents or...?
Well, I mean, you know, literally, I mean, as, you know, as you with the parents and that being there or anything like that, or do you, I mean, Kevin's a, you know, a really nice guy and all the rest of it as well, but he seems to be one of those people that was very protective of his staff and his players as well. So, I mean, if anything, have you not had touch wood so far that you've not had any sort of really bad problems?
Obviously, you get the comments that have affected, like, upset me a little bit, but obviously, he's just been really good and like made sure I'm okay. And Craigie, my bench buddy, as I like
love Craigie,
coach, he's so lovely. Like, he knows when something's upset me or like annoyed me a little bit, and he'll always come and make sure that I'm okay. So yeah, it's really nice to have like a good little group of us there.
Yeah.
So yeah. But I've had a couple of comments before, and my parents are standing right there, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, I went one time, I was like, my dad is standing there like, go away. Like, you're embarrassing. it's just not necessary, to be honest. It's not.
What was your dad's reaction though?
Don't think he heard.
He went, I know she is. She's a right so-and-so. Try living with her. Try living
back away. I don't think anything phases
him. Emily?
Yeah, I think, like, I've obviously had it before from Mr. Joe Vines. I've had a bit of abuse, but it was a heated game, and it was against Cray Valley, and there's a bit of history between the boys. But, I mean, once we crossed that white line back after the game, it was done. But, like, our coach was out of the dugout like that, as quick as you like, and I thought, no, don't. And I think at Phoenix, when anyone says that to me, my gaffer just puts his head in his hands. He thinks, Jesus Christ, please don't fly off the handle. Because he knows what I'm like. But like you, Courtney, at Cray Valley, the goalkeeping coach, Tony's blinder, like, and Al, our coach down there as well, he's also the under-18s manager. Like, Tony and Al really look after me all the time. And like, I know if someone said something to me, Tony would be the first one to be like, excuse me. So yeah, it's always nice to feel like you're back down there. But like, Marty is the chairman, like, I love him to bits. We get on like house on fire. I think he's a bit like the gaffer. If someone says something, he's like, oh Jesus, what's she going to say? How is she going to come back from this? I think they know I'm able to look after myself to that extent, but it doesn't stop them defending me. They're a really good club, and they've always backed me, so I can't complain.
Well, Adrian's come back in and said, attempting to grab Ali is terrible. I would have slung them out and made them apologise to her face if that happened at Wroxham.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
That's really bad, though, to try and put your hands on someone.
You know what? It was one though. The geezer had a mass. He was obviously really tanked up. Hadn't thought it through, and he'd been a bit off of it all. He flashed me as well at one point. It wasn't very impressive, sadly. I know. You know what? It's never the guys you want, is it? Sadly,
it's worse when it's that impressive.
No, do you know what? I'm like, oh, hang on. Oh, that's what you're doing. Oh, no. Awful.
Oh, mate. It looks like you're awful. I feel like
saying to them, you're going to flash me. It's cool. Bear in mind, at hospital and at football, I see a lot of men's genitalia. So it better be impressive. Otherwise,
I don't know what he's going to say then.
Yeah. No, but it's true, isn't it? I mean, I'm not being honest. I've seen a lot of them. I'm not being bothered anymore now. Like, I don't, do you know what? Maybe it's a male thing, though. I'll ask you quickly in front of me, but I've never had the urge to flash anybody in my whole life. I don't really get it. I don't really get why people do it. But anyway, as I said, he did that. He got a bit more alcohol in him. He ran around the pitch banging on the dugout. And then in the end, I'm going to grab her. I'm going to grab her by her hair. And luckily, he missed me. But unfortunately, a couple of the Cray dads saw him try and do it. And oops, is what I'm going to say. But luckily, we managed to get them away. And they didn't do anything to him. And it was all kind of settled down again afterwards. But alcohol is the cause of most of this, sadly. Alcohol and bravado, isn't it? Because if they saw me in Eltham High Street, it wouldn't do that to me there. And it's all a little bit of silliness, sadly. And, you know, but I'm not going to let these people ruin this game for me. Because I said, most of the time, someone goes, Ali, I go, oh, I follow you on Twitter. I really like you. You do really good work. You know, I really enjoy watching, you know, your tweets. And you're such a nice person. Can I just come and say hello to you? My people are so lovely, you know. And I can't let one idiot who can't even grab me from 2 foot away, sadly, ruin my experience of football. Yep. You know, I really can't. And it was years ago. I mean, now I'm not that impressive anymore. I'm about 4 years older now. I'm not exciting anymore, sadly.
After 10 months of lockdown, you might welcome being grabbed, Ali.
Well, I know. say no more.
we just had a couple of things. Steve's come in and said, Steve Sprignett's come in and said, what's wrong with people? And Adrian's come back.
Us. Not us three.
We're talking about the flasher. And then he's also, Adrian's come back in and said, maggots are bigger. But
I don't know. That's an insult to maggots, really, what I saw that day.
Just while we're on the subject of with Adrian, have any of you had the pleasure of actually going to Wroxham?
Yes.
Wroxham is a quaint little ground, and it's really, really difficult to find, I find, tucked behind the back of some houses and stuff. But one thing I will say about Wroxham, it's always my favourite ground to go and visit, because the people there are absolutely fantastic from top to bottom. But also as well, they have, if I'm right in saying, and probably Adrian will put me right or wrong on this, but I'm sure they have a butcher, and they make, and they've got their hot dogs and their beef burgers are absolutely mind-blowing. So if you ever get a chance to go to Wroxham, you've got to try some of them.
I think we're going to have to get a pre-season booked in now.
Honestly, they are amazing. They are amazing. It says up here, Adrian's coming to St. Ali has been to Wroxham.
See, look, I'm famous. I told you I'd get around. I'm getting around everywhere, honestly.
And Steve's coming and said, didn't like going there on a Tuesday night, though. I did. I'll be honest with you. I go on holiday there, and every time I go on holiday there, they're always away, which is a real bugbear.
I don't even like going to the home ground on a Tuesday night. They've not got a life, you know. I'm that physio.
We went there this season, and they were in the trophy, in the bars, and they were doing really well in the bars. We thought, great, I'm going to get to see them. I go over there on a Tuesday night. It's going to be fantastic. Go and see them. And then the game got postponed and they were away in a league game instead. So it was like, oh, well, fair enough. I wasn't going to get there this time, but I will get there again. We'll get there as soon as I can, because it is a lovely ground with some really, really lovely people. Steve's coming. I'm a 2 a.m. and up for work. I'm at 2 a.m. and up at work at 5.
Oh, thank you, Steve, for your hard work.
Yeah. That's not good. But one of the things I'd like to do on the show, and you tell me, ladies, what you think as well, because in the last sort of 5 minutes.
We're not flashing anyone, Dave.
No.
I would like.
ready?
Three, two, one,
in all fairness, how would you girls like to see Courtney to stay with us and be with us going forward? That's one question. I reckon she's done really well tonight. I reckon she should stay with us as a permanent person on here with us. Secondly, how about, I've tried it myself here. I'd like to see somebody like maybe Tony's wife come on the show.
Oh, I'll get her on the show.
Or even Kevin's wife on the show. And I always forget the boss I do apologise at Phoenix. Boss Paul's wife to come on. And these type of, I'd love to get to see.
I don't know that Paul is literally on here.
Come on and let us hear from them what it's like being married or being a partner to a manager that is actually that involved in football, especially somebody like Tony's wife. And do you know what I mean?
I think
really involved. It'd be really, really good to get their side of the story.
I think it would. I remember Kate put a message on her Facebook saying that it was the first Christmas that Tony had spent with the family since he ever started playing football, which is crackers, isn't it? When you think, and you know what? No one, girls, apologies. I'm going to make a big statement. No one in football works harder than Tony Russell. Like, the guy is at games every single day of the week, scouting, looking at players, looking at different games. He's working on formations. He's amazing. I mean, he puts everyone to shame, I think, personally. But I'll have a word of it. We'll see. I might owe her a favour.
What do we?
It'd be good to hear from Paul's wife, because both her sons play as well. One plays professionally.
Well, we'll leave that down to you, of course. But hopefully you'll get a bit more success, Emily, than Ollie Merge. Yeah.
Well, he's definitely not going to come on now.
You've got to let him out your basement. You can't lock him up there forever, girl. Yeah. Poor Ollie. Free Ollie.
Richard Green's cut has put on here. Go, Courtney.
Oh, thanks, Richard.
And then Adrian's come back and said, I remember the first time I met Ali was at VCD on a Tuesday night. We got thrashed 8-0 and got home at 2:30 in the morning.
Sorry. And I think I'm sure my dad was at that game, and I'm sure he went to me afterwards. Those poor boys have got a long journey home. Look, how can you do that to them? Yeah, he said to me now, he said, I can remember it. He said to me, you should be ashamed of yourself doing that to that team. I didn't score any goals, Dave. I didn't do anything wrong. I always get blamed.
But I think that's probably what Steve was getting at as well, that he got back from Wroxham at half past.
Yeah. There you go.
Five. I think that's probably where we were with that. But yeah, it's been fantastic. But hopefully next week, the hour's flown by today. And Courtney, see, look, and I tell you now, no redness here now at all.
No redness.
Gone.
Well, I was coming back.
As we said, Courtney, the invitation's open. If you want to carry on being with us, you're more than welcome to stay with us. Next week, fingers crossed, Tony Gow will join us next week. We might even get some kind of chat with Ali's dad that's just off camera by the looks of things.
He's hanging around over here at the minute. hang on, you might have a hello.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get your thoughts on your daughter being a physio and next week.
Not now, but
later on. So next week, I'll beat West Ham. You can come back on next week.
Yeah, whenever you like.
If Spurs win, he's not allowed on, though. That's the rules.
From this angle, your dad looks like Barry McGuigan. I'm buzzing out my little no here.
There's no need for that, no. No need for that. I can sing as well.
Don't do that, please.
I was just about to say George Clooney, but anyway, that's not the point.
He's gone now. He's unhappy back in Wigan. He's left.
Sorry.
But listen, everybody, we do thank you for joining us. I've thoroughly enjoyed my Friday evenings over the last 3 weeks. It's been absolutely fantastic. It's been a really good hour to spend with the girls and having a chat about football as well. Please join us again next week when, as we said, hopefully Tony Gow will join us. Hopefully Courtney will be back with us again next week. But Tony Gow will be here next week as well. Join me and Keith on Monday night. We've got a mental health special on Monday night. We've got Danny Mills going to be with us. He's going to join us. We've also got a friend of Ali's as well who's going to come and join us as well, in a certain Mr. Billy Cove. So he will be with us as well on Monday night. So, and Keith as well. And as I said, that's 7 till 9 Facebook Live, of course, on Monday night. And of course, as well, we'll have all the updates as well from what Boris has got to say as well. I dare say that will come into it. And then, of course, next Friday, Ali and Emily will be back. Hopefully, Courtney will be back with Tony Gow as well next week. We'll be talking about
a shift. I wouldn't trust them.
We'll be talking about a Tottenham win and amongst other things next week. But until then, thank you everybody for joining us. We really enjoyed this evening. I hope you have. And spread the word. Let them know we're here on a Friday night. And from the girls and from me, good night.